Welcome to the Homesteaders of America podcast, where we encourage simple living, hard work, natural health care, real food, and building an agrarian society. If you're pioneering your way through modern noise and conveniences, and you're an advocate for living a more sustainable and quiet life, this podcast is for you. Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm your host, Amy Fuel, and I'm the founder of the Homesteaders of America organization and annual events. If you're not familiar with us, we are a resource for homesteading education and online support, and we even host a couple of in-person events each year, with our biggest annual event happening right outside the nation's capital here in Virginia every October. Check us out online at homesteadersofamerica.com, follow us on all of our social media platforms, and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can be the first to know about all things HOA. That's short for Homesteaders of America. Don't forget that we have an online membership that gives you access to thousands, yes, literally thousands of hours worth of information and videos. It also gets you discount codes, an HOA decal sticker when you sign up, and access to event tickets before anyone else. All right, let's dive into this week's episode. Hey guys, thanks for joining us on this week's Homesteaders of America podcast. Whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast, we welcome you for a special episode this week. This week we have Mike Sharman on. And the fun part is that Mike and I actually go to church together. We know each other personally. But the extra awesome part of it is that he's part of a company that sponsors HOA almost every year. So welcome to the podcast, Mike.
Well, thank you, Amy, so much for having me, and welcome to all of your family that's joining us here, too.
Yeah, we're excited. So, Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we can kind of go into Share Healthcare and what they do as well.
Okay, so I'm an attorney, and I've been an attorney for right at 40 years now. And for about 35 of those years, I've been working in the area of religious freedom, particularly in the area of healthcare sharing. And for those of you all don't know what healthcare sharing is, think of it as a co-op that helps you share one another's healthcare bills. And it began with Amish, Mennonite, Old German Baptist, the Plain People. And then back in the 80s, they started expanding that to interdenominational, non-denominational across the nation and actually around the world. So I've litigated and legislated on healthcare sharing issues in probably, 20, 25 states over those, 35 years that I've been a part of it. And what's nice is I've been able to see the good, bad, and the ugly. And so a while back, one of the healthcare sharing groups of Plain People, an Old German Baptist group, had asked me to open theirs up so that it would go beyond what they could do. Being Plain People, they aren't digital, they aren't online, et cetera. So we did, and we opened it up, and it's Share Healthcare. My wife, Nancy, had come up with the name. And we've been able to use all of the advantages that we saw in creating community of healthcare sharing with the progression that we've had of technology. So if you're a member of Share Healthcare, you automatically get a bank account at Lime Bank in Bolivar, Missouri. And that's a brick and mortar bank with branches, but it's also a digital online bank. And that banking platform helps us do another thing. That bank has a proprietary algorithm that lets them, with a punch of a button, move the right amount of money from each one of the members' bank accounts into the bank account of the member who has a medical need. So rather than, as with a lot of the healthcare sharing ministries, if your listeners are and viewers are familiar, a lot of times you have that lag time between the time it takes you as an individual to tell the healthcare sharing ministry about your problem, then for them to publish that, literally publish it out to the others by mail, then get the checks to you and all that. With us, it's essentially instantaneous because of our digital abilities. So then it also lets us talk to healthcare providers and say, okay, if we can send you the money within 24 to 48 hours, how much of a discount will you take? So most of the time, it's about a 61 to 69% discount. That is, a $100,000 bill comes down to $31,000 to $39,000, which allows one of the reasons why it allows us to have a very affordable price. Affordable being starts at $149 for a single, $249 for a couple, $349 for a family of four, and then $50 for each child after that. So that's pretty much in a nutshell, other than we're a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and we're a Christian ministry. So take it from there, Amy.
Yeah, so that's really good. And so that's what we're going to talk about today is healthcare freedom. And Mike has a lot of experience, as you've heard, in healthcare freedom. And one of the things as homesteaders is we're not just talking about food freedom and various different things in the homesteading aspect, but we also talk about healthcare freedom. Mike, one question I didn't put on your questionnaire this morning when I sent it to you, because it completely slipped my mind. I wonder if you might talk before we get into share healthcare. You actually were pretty big, I know, with our church during COVID with government overreach. So would you talk just briefly on that before we dive into share healthcare, just so people kind of know what your credentials are and where you've kind of been in this movement?
Sure. And as I mentioned, you know, I've been working with religious freedom for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And we all experienced during the COVID time a cessation of many different freedoms, one, the most essential of which was the end of our religious freedom, that our governor here in Virginia at the time was a Democrat, and he was adamant that all churches must shut down. They even prosecuted a very small church, 15 members, for having more than 10 people gather at one time and weren't 6 feet apart. I mean, prosecuted, like criminally prosecuted them. So, you know, our church, the church that Amy and I goes to, is a relatively small church, you know, about a normal rural church size, between 60 to 100 in attendance. And so obviously the pews are spaced, but we were told to shut down also, as everybody else. So myself and a number of other men from our church filed suit against the governor. And at the time that we did, churches were only allowed to, anybody was only allowed to gather in groups of 10, other than abortion clinics, liquor stores, et cetera, and all government. So our issue was, hey, if government can gather, if liquor stores can, if abortion clinics can, then certainly a church ought to be able to. And in that one, we were able to have the governor agree that by settlement that, okay, if you have under 250, you can gather. So we looked at what that would mean for the body of Christ across Virginia. And that would take into account about 97% of all the churches in Virginia. So we figured, well, rather than spend time litigating, let's grab that settlement and go. So we did that. Then he put into place other additional restrictions. And so we refiled suit again. And that time, and we filed in three different counties. That time we lost in each one of the counties. One of the judges just specifically said, well, you know, we're not really having to pay attention to law at this point. And then he said, this is a wily disease, a dangerous disease, and we have to do everything possible to deal with it. And, you know, my thought was, well, the disease is actually when you don't believe freedom is a matters and religious freedom matters. So fortunately, just very recently, we have a new governor and our General Assembly in Virginia, which is mixed, Democrat on one side, Republican on the other, you know, House and Senate. And then we have a Republican governor. The General Assembly, which, as I mentioned, is bipartisan, passed a bill saying that will never happen again. No matter what the emergency is, churches will not be shut down. And our governor just signed that very recently. So we won one battle, lost one battle, but now the war is won on that particular issue here in our state. And I believe that's being the sense across the nation, regardless of what somebody's party is. They don't ever want to go through this complete cessation of religious freedom again.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's talk about healthcare sharing. So I know with a lot of people have questions about what it is, how it works, how it's a good option for them, especially homesteaders. A lot of homesteaders are coming and they don't really have a job outside of the home that offers insurance, or maybe they do have a job that offers insurance. And so they're kind of wondering, what are the benefits? What are the pros and cons of that? And then how is it legal? I get this question, I know, all the time, is how does it kind of fit into various different tax things. Like, I know we had the Obamacare or whatever the perfect term was for it, but is it legal? And how does that work if we have more of those things coming up in the future, if they try to take over our healthcare? So kind of break it down for people so that they can understand it a little bit better.
So let's think of it in homesteader terms. If you're a homesteader, pretty much by definition, you're on a small amount of acreage, and you have a small consumer base, even though, you know, a lot of the homesteaders I've talked to, they might have up to 2,000 customers, perhaps, but it's still relatively small in terms of agricultural. So a homesteader might have, you know, 40 to 200 chickens for the families that they support in eggs and in meat. A corporate poultry grower might have 40,000 at any particular time, but they're doing it on a contract basis with a corporate buyer who tells them what type of hens they have to have, what type of care they have to do, et cetera, right, et cetera. And you have to take this price. You have to sell it this time. You have to do this X, Y, and Z. Okay. Healthcare sharing is homesteading in medical care versus that agricultural, that is not the equivalent of corporate farming. In regular healthcare, the state and the insurance company tells you what you have to do in terms of what type of care you have to get, who you have to go to for a doctor, how much you have to pay. With healthcare sharing, particularly with Share Healthcare, with us, your network is any medical licensed professional in the world. The amount that you share is basically set up on the type budgeting that you want. As I mentioned, the one that pretty much everybody chooses, we have three different pricing programs, but the one that pretty much everybody chooses is that $149, $249, $349. And that has a $1,000 per event personal expense, meaning $1,000 is unshareable. Everything above it is shareable. We don't have a lifetime limit. We don't have an annual limit. We don't have a per event limit.
Okay.
So to explain how that is, if you go to your doctor just for a regular checkup and the doctor says, I don't know, I'm kind of concerned here. There's something that's, well, let me just get a blood test for you. Let me run a full blood test. So the doctor visits only $150. That's a load you and your family can carry. No reason for the rest of the body of Christ to share that. The full blood workup, probably about another $800. So you're still under that $1,000. Again, it's something you can budget for, make payments on, whatever. It's a load that you and your family can carry and no reason for the body of Christ to share it. The blood test comes back. Your doctor says, I want you to go for an MRI. All right. Now you're into the thousands, 2,000 to 4,000, depending on where you're going. And that MRI turns out to be not good news. So from the time that you hit the $1,000 mark on up for however many years it takes, that is shareable. And it's shared, just as I mentioned before, among all the members of Share Healthcare by that algorithm and everybody in their bank accounts. Okay, so you had asked also, Amy, about, well, how is it legal?
Right.
So it's been presumed to be legal pretty much from New Testament times on of right. just sharing. There's many, many one another verses. You mentioned, Amy, you and I go to church together. Well, we've had the study that I, as a Sunday school teacher, did on one another verses. Mm-hmm. That's one of the basic concepts. The first concept of Christianity is think of others. You know, after you accept Christ, et cetera, it's think of others. You're now no longer a self-centered person. You're a Christ-centered person, which means you're an other-thinking person. Then, well, which others to focus on? You first focus on the body of Christ, the local one, then the global one. And those are the one another verses and the one another things. Share with one another, bear one another's burdens, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, it's love your neighbor, which is everybody, the church, on the Christian on one side of you, the non-Christian on the other. That's love everybody. Okay. So there's the basic concepts that we're laying out. And then we want to be having in our healthcare sharing, we want to have the biblical concept of load and burden. As I mentioned, there's no reason for the body of Christ to help you carry a load that you can carry. Mm-hmm. But above $1,000, it gets to be pretty difficult for most everybody to carry that, particularly when the costs just keep escalating. You don't know when they're going to stop or how much they're going to be. Right. So those are the burdens that we should each individually share.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this week's episode. We're going to take a quick break and bring you a word from one of our amazing sponsors. McMurray Hatchery officially started in 1917. Murray McMurray had always been interested in poultry as a young man and particularly enjoyed showing birds at the local and state fairs. Nowadays, the hatchery is still completely through mail order, but they offer way more than ever before. From meat chicks and layer hens to waterfowl, ducklings, goslings, turkeys, game birds, juvenile birds. They even have hatching eggs and a whole lot of chicken equipment. Make sure you check out our Homesteaders of America sponsor, McMurray Hatchery, at McMurrayHatchery.com and get your orders in today. And don't forget to stop by their booth at the 2023 HOA event.
So in the 80s, that, as I mentioned, the Anabaptist, Old German Baptist, you know, Amish Mennonite have been doing these medical aid plans for ever since World War II, really, on an organized basis. They'd always been doing it from a church level. New Testament Christian believers have been doing it since biblical times. In the 80s, it began, the first interdenominational one that began in an Amish community and spread out beyond the Amish. And they were being attacked. I had joined that as a healthcare sharing member just itself, and I read about some of the attacks in the newsletter they sent out. I wrote to those governors and insurance entities, sent a copy to the headquarters there, and they wanted me to try to help them lobby and litigate and get this thing legal because they're being attacked by insurance entities. So we were able to get legislation passed to protect it. And then that spread beyond the states that I'd done it on with. I think we had about 20 different states that we dealt with pretty quickly. And then it spread beyond there. And there was really nothing that attacked it, no problems in healthcare sharing from the early 90s on up until Obamacare was being proposed and passed. And Obamacare is an omnibus bill, meaning it's a universal bill like the draft or Social Security that affects everybody in the nation. So any omnibus bill needs to have a conscientious objector clause. There's one in Social Security, there's one in the draft, and there was one put into Obamacare. And it essentially took a lot of the definition of what a healthcare sharing ministry was and the legislation that I had helped pass, and then put it into the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And it had a couple other additional things to try to restrict it. One of them was that the entity needed to exist before 1999. Okay, no problem. And the rest of the things are true also. It has to be a 501c3, has to be faith-based. The people who are members of it have to share in accordance with their faith. Pretty much it. And with that, when there was the individual mandate, anybody who was in a healthcare sharing ministry was exempt from the individual mandate. And with that, it also recognizes that healthcare sharing ministries are qualitatively and quantitatively different from insurance. They are not insurance, and they're exempt from all insurance laws of the Obamacare. Then right now there's 31 states that have specific laws exempting share healthcare or healthcare sharing, of which share healthcare is one, from the insurance laws of their state. And then there's about five more that have their own individual mandates, which again set up an exemption for people who are in healthcare sharing. And the other states, most of them aren't bothering, you know, we're not insurance at common law, so they don't bother us anyway. And there's a couple, you know, of the more radical states that bother us every now and then, and we just deal with it. So that's the legality. And I think that pretty much hit the main parts of your questions right there.
Yeah, I think so. I know that's a question that we get sometimes, was people were concerned about, especially with Obamacare. You know, they always remember, oh my goodness, I'm going to be taxed or charged for not having insurance. I say that in air quotes. And so that's really comforting for people to know that that's how that works. And so I know another question.
Right. Specific exemption.
Yeah. Another question going back to per event. I get this question all the time too, because we do have a health share plan. Is what does that look like? And I thought you explained that really well for people, because I think that's where most people get hung up, is they're concerned like, oh, I'm going to have to pay tens of thousands of dollars because this event, you know, they think of it an event as just one doctor's appointment event and then a new event starts. But to give you guys an example, personally, like our son years ago broke his arm. And so the first doctor's visit, I think we had like a $500 out of pocket. And so once we reached that threshold, every single doctor's appointment after that, every single x-ray after that, whether it was that day or 6 months from then or a year from then, it was completely covered under the healthcare sharing plan. And so it's really good for people to understand that it's per incident. And that really kind of gives you the comfort in that as well, that you're not just going to the doctor over and over again and paying out of pocket. So before we, I think that the healthcare sharing has pretty much made sense. Can you tell people where they can go to get more information? And we'll also put that in the show notes for those who don't catch it on here.
Sure. The easiest thing is remember our name, Share Healthcare, and go to sharehealthcare.com, sharehealthcare.com. And you can talk to a real live person at 1-844-SHARE-HC. So probably the best way for you is go online, look at it, look over all the stuff. We have a lot of depth of information in there, and that'll help you formulate the questions that you want to ask. And so then call 1-844-SHARE-HC and ask them. And Amy, we have a number of freedom platforms. Medical freedom is one that you can go to any doctor that you want, as I mentioned, and your doctor gets to choose the right type of care for you, or your licensed medical professional. Then financial freedom, which we discussed, and it's basically, it's affordable. And then religious freedom, because since we are exempt from Obamacare and don't have to follow the Affordable Care regulations, and we are not insurance, and so we don't have to follow the insurance laws, and we're not an insurance company, so we're not dictating to people what they do, we're able to just follow the dictates of our conscience and what the scripture says. And so we don't share in abortifacients. We don't share in abortions. We don't share in the gender disruption or destruction care that's so widespread and so prevalent right now. We're free from that. And those, again, are very large part the reasons why we're so affordable. When people as a group try to live by biblical principles, they're going to have a better life generally than otherwise. Of course, disease and death comes to us all. Or just destruction. You know, we might be in an accident. We might have injury, a disease, but we're all going to die eventually. And so we're going to have problems. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But Christians, because they are trying to follow scripture, are generally better off than others. And it reflects itself in our affordability. You know, it's not just an issue of being inexpensive. When our neighbor says, well, how much do you pay for your health care? And we say, well, $349 from my family of four. And they go, you got to be kidding. I'm paying $2,000, which is the national average for a family of four. And they said, what's the deal? I said, well, we don't have government regulation. We try to live by the Bible. And other than that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's a great opportunity for them to say, well, I want to know how living by the Bible makes a difference. And that we then get to have a really good conversation about that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I had never thought of it that way, that we're not paying for all the extra stuff that we're never going to use. We're just paying for the stuff that we as a people group would generally use in healthcare. So that's a really good explanation of that. All right, one more question before I let you go. And I know a lot of people, this is the biggest question we get all the time when it comes to healthcare, is how do we change overreaching laws in regard to healthcare? What, from your legal standpoint and your personal standpoint, your experience, what can people do to get involved and start changing their state laws and just become active in making a difference?
Well, I think is again where a good analogy to homesteading comes in. When people really don't understand about food and their food sources, the food production, they might be clamoring for more laws regulating those things. Mm-hmm. They might be saying, I want this, that, and the other. When you begin to understand food and food sourcing, food production, you want the opposite. You want freedom. Well, it's the same with healthcare. When people realize if I don't have insurance, I'm going to have a wider range of choices. I mean, people can go to any doctor, licensed medical professional in the world they want to with Share Healthcare.
Right.
You can't do that with Medicare, Medicaid, the health exchange, and your health insurance. You just can't. And it is more affordable. So when we stop clamoring for I want this, you know, the self-centered issue of I want what I want when I want it because I want it. And that is the biggest problem that people who get elected to public office have is everybody that wants an appointment with them has something they want. And the statesmen, then the politicians, try to deliver for their constituents what they say they want. So we need to start telling our politicians, give us less. We don't want this regulation. We don't need this regulation.
Yeah.
That really is one of the main ways we're going to stop the overreaching. The other is have an alternative, a viable alternative. You know, when I first began in healthcare sharing, outside of the Anabaptist churches, Amish Mennonite churches, Old German Baptist churches, outside of those churches, which has their own medical sharing, there was only one interdenominational healthcare sharing ministry, and it only had about 2,000 families in it. Well, now there's over 1.5 million families involved in healthcare sharing. And so they've created another vehicle that then has been creating freedoms set up in law, because we have the political force to do so just by sheer number. So we have those freedoms. And that's our only way of stopping overreach in any area of our life.
Yeah.
Whether it's healthcare, whether it's agriculture, whether it's education, is provide the alternative and let government know, thank you very much, but my family is the core group of government that God created, and we'll take care of it ourselves. Thanks.
Yeah. That's good. Yep. And that's the homesteader way, right? Like we're all about that in every way. And so I think this will be a really good encouragement to our homesteading groups, especially to know that, okay, you're on fire for taking back your food, for taking back your home, for taking back your education, and you can also take back your healthcare. So that's awesome. I think that's perfect. Well, Mike, any last words for us before we hop off here, or the homesteading community in general?
Let me just underline and punctuate what you just said, Amy. When people see you as a free person, they want to know, how did you do that? Because everybody, every human on that was ever born, every human on earth right now, has planted within them by God the desire for liberty. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we want to be able to have a cogent, clear explanation to our friends and family and neighbors. Well, here's one way in which you can begin exercising liberty, exercising your freedom. And oh, by the way, when you find one area of your life in which you can have freedom, you're going to want more.
Oh yeah.
And that's what we want to be encouraging. We want to change the culture. You know, I'm not in this to get more members to share healthcare. Mm-hmm. I'm in this to change the culture.
Yeah.
That's what each one of us as Christians need to be wanting to do. And the only way we're going to have true lasting culture change is not just to let people know about Christianity, but it's to make them be disciples, actual right. students of it, day to day, moment by moment, living out the word in a real way. And that was the basis for our democracy, our nation being the first democracy ever created in the history of the world, and the only one now that was created based upon New Testament Bible believing people. I mean, that's what it was. It was the way to exercise that. Mm-hmm. Free market capitalism, true capitalism that doesn't have oligarchies and monopolies, just essentially being a new way of being a government,
right,
was created when the culture itself was dominantly Christian. And it allowed folks who weren't, you know, like Amy at Homesteaders, it's great. You have the bulk of the people are Christian, but not everybody.
Right.
And yet there's an absolute freedom there. Believe what you choose to believe. We're not going to impose upon you our faith. We're going to share it. We're going to chat about it, but we're not going to impose upon it. But because that's the dominant culture, there is that idea of we're free, and we're free to believe because the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so I thank you, Amy, for having homesteaders spreading that freedom. You do it, I know, in a non-religious way. You do it not imposing your faith on others, allowing them to have faith. And that's what we as a culture need to do. But as that culture re-embraces its Christian roots, it will change, and we will have more freedom in every area. When we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we don't need a policeman on every corner. When we imbibe God's law as true, and that law includes freedom in it, when we imbibe God's law, then we aren't going to need government giving us laws on every single thing, how to tie our shoelaces, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a little extreme. Maybe they don't have a long how to tie your shoelaces, but.
No, I think that's you, nice. I think you hit the nail on the head on that one. And it's a beautiful imagery that you just shared with us. And I believe more and more people are definitely shaking their heads, just like I am during this podcast and saying, yes, yes, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I need. And I love that you said you're not on here to just share more memberships to share healthcare. You're here to change the culture. And ultimately, that's what homesteading and HOA is all about is, you know, I often say that we're literally creating this parallel culture next to the one that is dying here in America and beyond. And one day those two will meet and one will overtake the other. That's our goal, right? To just live in freedom and the perfect will of God. And so I'm excited to see that. I'm faithful in wanting to see that. And so I thank you so much for coming on, Mike, and sharing this with us, because I think that there are a lot of people who didn't even know this was an option for them. And this is going to cause them to have that aha moment and just take that freedom one step further.
Well, thank you, Amy. Thanks for the privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, thank you for joining us for this week's HOA podcast. As always, check out the show notes. All the information we talk about will be below. If you have any questions, you can always shoot us an email. We get lots of emails from our podcast episodes. If you have questions directly for Mike that aren't just the general questions that can be answered on the website, we will certainly shoot them his way. And until next time, happy homesteading. Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to this week's Homesteaders of America episode. We really enjoyed having you here. We welcome questions, and you can find the transcript and all the show notes below or on our Homesteaders of America blog post that we have up for this podcast episode. Don't forget to join us online with a membership or just to read blog posts and find out more information about our events at homesteadersofamerica.com. We also have a YouTube channel and follow us on all of our social media accounts to find out more about homesteading during this time in American history. All right, have a great day and happy homesteading.